whose people are sheep, whose shepherds mislead them off the deep end of history. Pity the nation whose leaders are liars, whose bigots haunt the airwaves, preaching more violence. Pity the nation that raises not its voice except to praise conquerors and say there's no choice, and aims to rule the world through force and torture. Pity the nation that knows no language but its own, no culture but its own. Pity the nation whose breath is money and sleeps the sleep of the too well-fed. Pity the nation, oh, pity the people who allow their rights to erode, their freedoms washed away. My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty. First they came for the communists, and I said nothing because I could never be a part of that party. Then they came for the unions, and I said not a thing because I wasn't in a union. And what charges could they bring? Then they came for the Jews, but I did not speak up because I was not a Jew. And besides, what could one man do? And then they came for me. I said, no, this cannot be. Well, I spoke up, but no one was left to speak for me. Yes, I spoke up, but no one was left to speak for me. I didn't fight for the Romans, I fought for the Christians in Greece. When Christians turned into crusaders, I prayed for their tribes to decrease. And I didn't fight for the Spanish, French, Portuguese, or Dutch. When their ships sailed into the Indies, I said, look, but do not touch. And I didn't fight for the English when the colonies had to go. But I have to say, the very next day, I was fighting for Geronimo. And I don't like to kill, never have and never will. But I will fight for freedom, though the battle be uphill. And I don't fight for conquerors, even if they're presidents. They try to buy me with dollars, they must think I've got no sense. And I don't keep my silence when my country bombs a town, 'cause I don't fight for conquerors, I fight to bring them down. I didn't fight for the Ottomans or the Empire of the Tsar. When they asked me to kill in their colonies, I said, who do you think you are? And I didn't fight for the Nazis, no, I fought for the Jews. And when Israel asked me to conquer, you know I had to refuse. I didn't crown the Shah of Iran, Greek colonels or a butcher in Zaire. Didn't bank on Franco or apartheid or any who ruled by fear. And I don't like to kill, never have and never will. But I will fight for freedom, though the battle be uphill. And I don't fight for conquerors, even if they're presidents. They try to buy me with dollars, they must think I've got no sense. And I don't keep my silence when my country bombs a town, Cause I don't fight for conquerors, I fight to bring them down. I didn't overthrow Chile, slaughter peasants in El Salvador. When they went in with shock and awe, I knew exactly what it was for. I didn't send men to be tortured, leave their families living in dread. I didn't build prisons all over the world and pretend it was freedom I spread. Yes, they say they're spreading democracy, but they're soldiers in the CIA. Is that why they propped up Mr. Marcos, Suharto, Duvalier? In Vietnam and Iraq I protested, while all of my presidents lied. When presidents stoop to conquer, I'm on the other side.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just catching up with us, we're listening to NSA whistleblower Russ Tice go on record about the revelations and names of official culprits involved in the NSA's illegal practices.
So and you just confirmed one of my hunches, that the phone records, the metadata that is extracted, form the index so that when they want to go locate this call that included Russ Tice, Peter B. Collins, and Sibel Edmonds, that they basically have the coordinates from the phone record data, and it just makes it that much easier rather than doing some sort of voice identification or keyword identification or the other ways that they can sift through these recorded electronic communications.
That's right, because all that takes a lot of processing. So what they're doing is they're using automation. This thing is all automated. So when they say they don't collect, well, in their little their twisted thinking, they're trying to say they don't collect means they don't have an analyst who looks at it. Well, think about it. Of course you don't have analysts. They can look at every communication made by every citizen domestically in the United States. But this thing is being sucked up by a mechanized system, and in bulk everything is being sucked up. And then later, when they decide, as they decide to target you or whatever, then they'll put it through the processing system, which is you know, a separate from just sucking up everything. Then they direct it to the processing, and then ultimately somewhere down the line they'll have possibly a human being, an analyst, look at that, whatever they're looking at.
Now, Russ, the third area of the initial wave of Snowden-related revelations is the most critical to me, and that is the top-secret memo related to the president's claims of cyber warfare authorities. And when we put that together with the interview that Snowden gave to the South China Morning Post, the English-language Hong Kong newspaper, where he described the massive hacks on 61,000 sites around the world, on hacks aimed in Hong Kong and at mainland China. The level of aggression on the part of the United States when it comes to cyber warfare that is being revealed is much greater than what the media has even hinted at. We know about Stuxnet. We know about Flame, the viruses that were injected into the Iranian nuclear energy or nuclear weapon sector, depending on who you believe. And that is an aggressive act of war. It's similar, in my view, to launching a missile or putting troops, you know, invading a country. And yet there has been no debate. There's been no grant of cyber warfare authority by Congress to the president. And so to me, this is a very significant area of exposure. Can you tell us anything more that is below the tip of this iceberg when it comes to cyber warfare?
Well, I've decided that I will only talk about crimes that are committed against the American people domestically. Anything that I've been involved with or done against foreign entities, I'm not going to talk about. But I will say this. Because I was in offensive information warfare and sort of, you know, pretty heavy into that field for quite some time, and now they've exposed it. So, you know, that's, you know, the fact that we do offensive cyber attacks is nothing new. But I was intimately involved in that office at NSA that did that work. As a matter of fact, I went and got their unit patch for them, and paid for it up front, and they still owe me $400 some bucks for my fronting the money for their unit patch for them. I don't think I'll see that $400 plus. You know, check anytime soon. But, you know, because I was in their office all the time doing my stuff, and I had access to their systems. So it's been around for a long time, and that's pretty much as far as I'll go.
Okay, Russ, back to where we started, especially with the mainstream media, and I have several questions on this. One, starting with withholding of the documents, and this is by Guardian and Glenn Greenwald. How do you interpret that? Why aren't they releasing the more explosive, the 80% of those slides, documents? Why are they withholding it? How do you interpret it?
I don't know. It's I noticed that you know, one of the interviews I was supposed to do Thursday, they said that their lawyers were heavily involved, and I noticed that what's his name, Gorman or from the Post,
Bart Gellman.
Gellman said that he was working right with the lawyers in the Washington Post office, not with the regular correspondents, but with the lawyers. So why would lawyers be involved? That tells me that someone is threatening them legally with something.
That's exactly right. And this is what I brought up when we were having our session with John Young from Cryptum.org. And my speculation and my interpretation was both with guys like Glenn Greenwald and Guardian and Washington Post, they basically went and lawyered up. And once you lawyer up, that basically becomes a totally different case. It no longer becomes media having to inform the public or what whistleblowers actually intend to do and their objective. So it all becomes about the reporters, their paper, their attorneys, the legalese, and the government. So it's again removed from the court of the public opinion and people's right to know. Do you view it the same way?
Yes, I do. How can you think of it any other way?
And the second question, which is an extension of the first question, is you and I, we both have had many, many instances and experiences with the mainstream media and the quasi-pseudo-alternative media. And despite the fact that, let's say, they get witnesses' documents, and in many cases, they don't publish it, they don't air it. Can you talk about that a little bit? And also, tell us about your recent experiences with the mainstream media now that Snowden and NSA case has become the headline news and the topic of the day, and how they have been treating you and most likely the other whistleblowers, including NSA whistleblowers in this case.
Well, I've sent some unclassified documents to some of these news agencies, and they've totally ignored them. I don't even get a courtesy callback or something that said thanks, we appreciate it, but don't call us, we'll call you. I don't even get that. When this all was first breaking out, NSA sent me a letter that said I was not allowed to talk to Congress because of the intelligence committees in Congress were not cleared at a high enough security level to hear anything that I could tell them. So and that was their threat to me. And Sibel, you've seen that letter. And I think taking that as a threat was the right way to look at it. But I think this is endemic where people get afraid. The guys and gals in black suits show up and show their little badges and their little bulge where they keep their gun, and everyone just kind of freaks out and starts acting stupid, even though that the press is the fourth arm of making sure our country stays free.
Tell us about your recent experiences with the media, and you've been around for a while, and as an NSA whistleblower, and you were the first NSA whistleblower that anyone actually heard of, and others came after you, and then later on it was exposed, with the story that the New York Times fed on for over a year, with other insiders who came forward, but you were the first, and they know it, we know it, our listeners know it. So you think that in the last 1 week or so, you'll be on every single network and the alternative media talking about this and providing people with more insight and also your analysis, considering the position you held with the NSA, and I haven't been seeing you around. So what's going on?
Well, Thursday, I was supposed to be on two major network programs, one cable, the other was Open Airway. The one major network, Open Airway, they said they were, I was getting ready to do the interview. Then they said, oh, we were having some difficulty. Then they said, yeah, we want you to do it. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, just before I was supposed to go in, they canceled the interview. They said, don't come in. And they said, maybe another time. The other one said, they had me, literally going down to their studios in DC. And as I was approaching the studio to do all the way down to DC, then I get a call and they say, we're canceling the interview because our lawyers have said that we have to cancel this. And I'm not going to go into too much more detail, but that's after I'm already all, in my little my suit and tie and, ready to do my thing on in front of the camera. So something is going on where they, I think I told them that I'd be willing to go beyond what's known and go into detail of things that have never been known here. And then all of a sudden, they just literally, shut me down. They're afraid that the truth is going to come out, and they know that I was the one guy who had my hands on all this, on all the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of what was going on. Bill Binney and Tom Drake, and these guys are great guys, and they've really helped out by coming out, but they did not have their hands in the nitty gritty. They, Tom was involved in money and in a big program and processing or writing, the code for a program. And Bill was, I think, pretty much in charge of a concept of a program. But they, Bill retired before the stuff really hit, and Tom really wasn't involved in this. And they thought that he was, and that's why they came after him, because they were after me. And he had his head sticking above ground when the rest of us knew to keep our heads underground. But anyhow, I knew the nitty-gritty, and I think they realize I do know the nitty-gritty, and they're afraid that I'm going to come out and tell it.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
And we are going to get to that. The mainstream media and the quasi-alternative media may not have the guts, but we are going to put everything out, anything that you're willing to share with us. Earlier you mentioned about the choice of Snowden for the nation to go to, and this is going to Hong Kong. And you said you would have made a different choice. Tell us a little bit about that, and both in terms of where people can go, or you believe are good places or safer places. But also, you said you would have done it maybe a bit differently. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, if he would have asked me, I would have told him to basically do everything you can to make sure. And this guy's an IT guy. He's a whiz with the computers, so he knows far more than I do about the running of computers. I'd say whatever you do, if you're going to do this in one big dump, get your thumb drives out and then get them to a source and make sure that you get it to more than one source, so that if one news agency is going to play footsie with it, that ultimately it's a bunch of different places. And once these places realize that someone else could get the scoop before them, then all of a sudden they're highfalutin. Oh gee, we need to keep wraps on this for whatever reason. Then all of a sudden the bottom line shows up, and then they can't wait to race to put something in. Hence what New York Times did with Jim Risen. But I would have told them get it all, dump it, and then make sure they couldn't come back to you. And that, if this was a finality thing, quit the intelligence business, make sure they don't know it was you, and then go get a job in private industry that has nothing to do with security clearance, and live your life happily, ever after, and never tell a single soul that you were the one. Not your cat, not your dog, don't tell your preacher, not, no one. That way he wouldn't have had to go through all this. Now, in the event that he knew he would get, pinned down and he had to pick a country, personally, I'd pick Switzerland because I'm a skier, and I love Switzerland, but,
Right. Russ, you and I think alike. like in many things. For example, we know how the system and government works with controlling the media and alike. And this is one of the things I want to actually present here and then get your take, even though I believe I know your answer is this. A lot of people now, they say, okay, mainstream media, it has been exposed already, whether it's the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA Times, that they are the extension of the government. They are not trustworthy. They work with government. They work for government. So, therefore, let's go to what is considered the alternative media. And within these alternative media options, they and this is whistleblowers, truth tellers, and whether it's government whistleblowers or others, go to the pundits, people who have been really, really speaking up and out about the government stuff, big government critics, okay? Now, government knows that, correct? So, and they know that more, and this is the government, more and more whistleblowers and people are looking at these so-called alternative venues to go to. So they are not dumb. They are dumb in many cases, but they are not dumb when it comes to this. Wouldn't it make sense for the government, and we know that this is the case, and I'm going to get to that, they actually would work and hire people who appear to be, who seem to be the biggest government critics, and their websites or their news site being considered as really alternative, that is challenging the government line and the mainstream media. So what I'm saying is this is an obvious fact. So a lot of people, they're including whistleblowers, they know that, okay, I'm going to avoid the mainstream media. I'm not going to go to the New York Times or Washington Post. Instead, I'm going to go to an alternative outlet, and I'm going to pick one that is known to be a major government critic. And government knows this, right? So therefore, wouldn't it make sense for government to work with and plant and support and prop up alternatives that outwardly appear to be a major, alternative anti-government, critics of our government website?
Well, yeah, I think you know the answer to this. And, a lot of these supposed, progressive on one side, and then the other side too. You know, the Tea Party advocates. You know, when Bush was doing this, of course they kept quiet. Now they're screaming, and of course now that Obama's doing this, a lot of your liberal organizations are, all of a sudden are quiet. So there's that, these people have partisan issues. Some of them have partisan alliances. But what they don't realize is this sword swings, is sharp on both edges, and it swings to the right and it swings to the left and it takes everybody's heads off. It doesn't matter whether you're a Second Amendment gun rights guy and Tea Party, stay out of my business, or whether you're on the left side and you're the, you want to have a 99% rally in the park somewhere, or you want to, protest against a war or what have you. This blade goes both ways, and ultimately, these organizations that are supposedly going to protect whistleblowers, and you know this, they have some funding coming from places that they don't want to talk about, and this big time funding, they have their agendas too as to what's going to be in the media, and quite often it's corporate. It's who's going to make money, and anything that could, cut a money train from going down, they're watching those interests. So, ultimately, there are very few places like you guys where you're willing to realize that blade goes both ways and go after the right and the left. So everyone else seems to have an agenda.
And Russ, go ahead.
I have one last one on this one, and I'm going to go after this because I have to depart. But the thing is this. You just mentioned that because we are getting that a lot from the to-be whistleblowers, people who are looking for venues to release information. And we know that, okay, our site is not as safe, they'll release it, but probably before we even do that, it's going to be shut down because we are under surveillance. But let's say the thumb drive that you refer to, okay, so you have a whistleblower who's savvy technically and is able to get this thumb drive or whatever format and wants to put it, out via different venues. And now the question that we are getting and the question that really makes us stuck, stall us, is what are the best, multiple venues to send it to and ensure that the information is going to be published? And for that, we don't have a good answer. I mean, we know what's going on with right.
I was about to say WikiLeaks, but look what they've done there.
Right. So therefore...
Hi, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to call it The Full Monica. When I was just a little girl, my mother said, don't smoke. Though I obeyed her every word, I learned a master stroke. Then a snoop named Kenneth Starr said I was his deep throat. He said,
you're close, but no cigar.
In his report, he wrote,
it's a wrong waste of Tipperillos. It's a wrong waste of it. When your thumb's got a Tipperillo, better hope that it's not lit. Is it goodbye for Slinky Willy? Will Bill hit the road? Who'd have ever thought Lewinsky's silly cigar would explode?
I'd talk on the phone for hours while Linda Tripp would snack.
Monica, you keep the dress. The Gap won't take it back.
Then I put Clinton to the test. He fudged each verb and noun. He said,
I only touched her chest to keep from falling down.
There's a wrong way to tickle Willie. It can make Willie sore. Things get steamy, but with Free Willie,
it's not the heat, it's the humidor.
Can you find me a new position?
How's your resume?
There is just one job for which I'm overqualified.
The Congress today.
And now, messages from Access Sacramento.